Ooh, wait.
Okay,
Did
here
we
we're
do a Harry
starting,
Potter one?
y'all.
Harry Potter and the Native of
That's
Azkaban?
great. Word.
Okay, we've started?
Yep.
Okay. So, welcome back, everyone. So, to Voicing Indigeneity, the podcast, we've had a long, restful, stressful break, but we're ready to get started again podcasting for you guys. Thank you for your handful of emails that you sent us requesting that we podcast again. Today is because we're kind of trying to get back into the swing of things here. We will be podcasting regularly, we promise, but today's kind of like a warm-up called Harry Potter and the Native of Azkaban. And so I guess that's kind of how we all feel right now, trapped, imprisoned in school, in our projects, in our work. So who wants, so what we're gonna do is because we're all in PhD programs and we're all at like ambiguous, nebulous stages in our work. I guess we're gonna update you on how we're progressing, where we're at. So who wants to go first? Oh, I'm Miguette, by the way, in case you guys forgot.
And Madel's here too.
Angie's in the house. Why don't you tell
Okay.
us, Miguette, where you're at with your work?
Wait, I'm looking at the levels.
I know. Do you want to check it? We should just check the playback real quick and then we'll be right back to y'all. All right.
Okay, so am I talking there? Okay, it looks like I'm talking loud enough now. Let's see. I didn't write at all over the break, but I did think about my project a lot. And but I had plenty of things to think about. So I'm right now working on my prospectus, and so when I finish my prospectus and qualify, that means I'm ABD. And so I can't wait to be ABD. But in the meantime, I'm in the middle of trying to figure out if I'm gonna move back to Guam or not, because because I have a new bundle of joy on the way.
Congratulations.
And so that's taking a lot of energy from my writing. And it's just an interesting feeling because I've been in school in college for like 10 years now at different levels. And like the fact that I'm going to be a father soon and the fact that I'm almost to the end of it, well, kind of. It's like really making me want to get out of school. Like really making me tired of going to classes, of communicating to people as a student. You know, I'm even kind of getting frustrated with student professor relationships, just like having, and so I don't know. But the past week has been good because I spent 2 crazy weeks in Guam figuring out the situation with Jessica, my baby's mama. And what's it called? And then also just being torn in so many different directions by the activist community and then different people on Guam to push for decolonization, cultural vitalization, and all sorts of things. Yeah. So, oh, about my projects. Oh, but then since I came back, I've actually been writing this past week, which is really good, really productive. My stuff is on sovereignty, but then thinking about sovereignty in a different way than the way it's traditionally thought about. So not thinking about sovereignty as something that international law or a strong military, that these things guarantee, but sovereignty in the sense that your sovereignty is guaranteed if your power is invisible or if your power is banal, if no one feels that your acts of violence produce violence. So with the case of Guam, I say that it produces American sovereignty because you can write of articles about nuclear missiles, nuclear submarines, aircraft carriers, 8,000 Marines, all coming to Guam. But there's in the mention of Guam, there's no mention that this is violent. There's no mention of this meaning anything except as the show of American right to move things to Guam and the show of American power in the world. So, yeah, so I'm moving along. Hope to be finished and qualified soon. Next.
How long does the prospectus have to be?
Well,
However
Yan is
long.
requiring us to have 35 pages.
I already got 35 pages. But it's not
I'm
coherent.
it's gonna be 35. Whatever minimal I need, that's what I'm doing. But so this is Madel. I'll just go next. I want to dedicate this podcast to a very good friend of mine and relative who I found out last night committed suicide. His name is Matthew Moses, and excuse me. He was always kind of lost, but he was always present, you know, in our neighborhood. He always looked out for the kids, for elders. He was always smiling unless, you know, he couldn't get a drink or a puff of weed, you know. But these are the real people in my life who I have been so detached from for many years now. And so the reason why I've sort of been sulking this quarter and at the end of last year is because I'm once again going through that phase of trying to convince myself that what I do here, what I think about, what I write about is meaningful, and has, you know, a practical use for my community. I think that Matthew's suicide is a good indication of colonialism in Belau and how it still affects us today. I mean, this is a grown man. He's in his early 40s. He couldn't really find his place with the way that our world has changed back home, you know? So it's really sad. And then my cousin also lost her baby while she was pregnant over the holidays. And so it really just made me think about reality and how much of what I do connects with that reality. And so I don't know, that's where I'm at. But I've decided that today's my last day of sulking, and I'm going to, you know, I've always thought I was going to finish out the program, but how long it's going to take me may vary depending on how I feel. So now I feel like I'm still going to qualify on time if I can, you know, complete my work. But I think that it's truly unfair for me to think that I can't, considering the privileged position that I'm in. And so after hearing the news about Matthew last night, made my decision that I need to do this for him and for my community and for myself. Otherwise, I think we're all gonna be lost. And so the other things that we have going on is we have several conferences coming up, which are exciting. I have to write my papers for those conferences. And so I think that doing this podcast today is going to really revitalize the passion that I needed to get back on track.
And you owe me an article.
And I owe me get an article today, right? I gave myself, yeah. So it'll before midnight. But anyway, so I'm wearing this shirt. It's a red shirt, which is the color of the color that we sort of adopted for my neighborhood in Norbaed. And the back of the shirt has Lady Reds on it, which is sort of our young female group in Palau. And so I'm wearing this sort of in honor of Matthew because I couldn't be there for his funeral and be there to support his family. So, okay, that's it for now.
That's awesome. I'm really sad too. I'm sorry to hear about your friend. I've got a little cold. We were thinking about talking about our work and setbacks today because, well, I was thinking about it because I knew that Madel had been having a hard time and Miguel had been tired of school. And I finally came back this term for the first time I feel like I finally showed up to grad school a year and a half in. I was like, okay, ready to work. And that's what I did since I got here. I put my committee together. Ross just giggles when we visit because he's like, whoa, who's this? I kind of, like you send out your applications and they say they want you and then they have to take you. And then who knows who's going to show up though. And I just, what happened? Well, like Dell, I also feel like this is an enormous privilege and that I've been wasting it with feeling sorry for myself, which I've been doing. I've been feeling sorry for myself. I miss my family. I'm taking care of my son, but there's an opportunity here to read and think and write and share my ideas with people. And I don't want to lose that. I'm getting paid to go to school and to talk to people about ideas that I couldn't even, for as much, okay, I'm totally inarticulate this moment, but for as much fussing as I've done, I have learned so much since I've got here. And so I have been writing. There's these writing tips were sent to me by this professor at Portland State, there's University of Portland, Amy Lowntree. And she had this essay that she's having published with her writing partner. And I've been using her techniques, and they've been awesome. You write in 45-minute shifts, 4 or 5 shifts a day. You take 15, 20-minute breaks in between. I haven't been as consistent as I've been hoping to be, but when I've used them, they've worked really, really well. And then we got sick, my son and I, the last week, and I was really getting down about that I hadn't been able to get any work done, and I started doing a lot of things that I used to do, mostly just finding ways to waste time, spending hours and hours not reading or writing. I mean, we're sick, but I don't know. On the one hand, I get so frustrated with myself for not getting the work done, and then I find it almost impossible to break out of these really negative patterns. But I'm not gonna let them take hold. We were sick, we're feeling better. Mama's back on her feet, car's running, and I'm gonna get some work done because my whole cohort just handed in their first drafts to their mentors, and I am not there yet. But I wanna be. I want us to be the cohort that all gets their master's thesis is done this, by the end of the year. That would be amazing. It can't be that hard, right? Okay, and then what was the other thing I was thinking about? And I also found something just exciting to write about, and that makes a big difference. Last term I was in a class where I had to pretend I knew what I was writing about and to keep up with the assignments, and I didn't know what I was writing about. So it was a lot of, bullshitting, and so that's done, and now I'm on my own schedule, and I have my own texts and tasks in front of me. So I feel like we're getting back on track and getting the podcast done too. We're gonna have another one real soon and start getting these out again because I've missed these conversations. I think they're really, really important to me staying productive and feeling connected to like these ideas and community here. We are having a conference that we're hosting for the ethnic studies. Well, it's a Crossing Borders Conference, USC, UC Berkeley, and UCSD. History of Consciousness at UC Santa Cruz is also sending a lot of their papers and students are coming down. It's called Ghosts, Monsters, and the Dead, and we're doing it in early March. So I have a paper to write for that. And then we're also going to the Indigenous Studies Conference in Norman, Oklahoma in early May. The rumor is we're going to get an RV. I don't know if we're going to get much work done spring term. I can see us just
road tripping.
Exactly. With our kids. And I think we could pick up some people on the way. Anyway, we have to.
We'll do a podcast from every state we drive through.
That'd be awesome. Anyway, so yeah, Oklahoma, watch out, because we're coming. And yeah, I don't know. I think these guys have more conferences too. But for me, I'm just trying to focus on my thesis and getting that project done without getting too caught up in being my own worst enemy and telling myself, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. And, you know, poor me.
Yeah, so you mentioned the conference, the Crossing Borders Conference. And so for that, it's kind of a mixture of our efforts and then the department being receptive to a lot of the concerns that we represent and that we have brought forward about the lack of indigeneity or the lack of scholarship, the lack of engagement with indigenous peoples, their epistemologies, their communities, etc. You know, lack of engagement with post-colonialism and so on. And so because of that, I mean, the cluster hire that Ross Frank has spearheaded has basically, you know, so far been very successful. I think 8 departments, including ethnic studies, signed on to it and committed to hire an indigenous Native American or indigenous studies faculty. So like that's really great. That's really exciting. And then
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
You didn't know that? Oh. Yeah. In fact, I owe Ross some work that I'm supposed to do for him. Damn.
Me too. Me too.
But so, and then for the Crossing Borders Conference, there's also, because I guess the three of us have submitted panels on papers on decolonization, and then Jose Fuste in our department, and then 2 people from Berkeley are also working on decolonization. And so there's going to be special panels on this topic because it's, you know, because it is a very real concern. I mean, a real issue that ethnic studies and then different groups in the United States have to contend with. Decolonization is kind of the choice way to conceive of the struggles of indigenous peoples for sovereignty. It makes it very clear that it's not simple inclusion, that it is like that something else has to emerge and it's emerge. It's not reform. It's not simple demands being met, but it's about sovereignty. And so I think that our papers and the discussion that comes from it will be really good and really productive for kind of getting other not white groups, white groups, whatever, but just having them like realize that this is not simply like, so that indigenous peoples are not simply minorities who just talk like nationalists or are just reinvigorating white racism in their nationalist voices. So I'm very
That's
hopeful.
Good. So I didn't make it to the meeting yesterday. There's the panel's going to happen on...
on Sunday, yeah.
At the same time, like they had it?
Well, we're going to finalize the panels on Monday.
Okay.
But, oh yeah, so, yeah, if you can make it. It's Ghost Monsters and the Dead, March 2 to 4th.
UC San Diego, Department of Ethnic Studies.
Yeah. If you want more information, you can email crossingborders2007@gmail.com.
We should put a link up on the site, too.
Oh, yeah, we should.
Or yeah, so that if you check on the site, then you'll see a link, and maybe we can even put the poster up. So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Because it's really beautiful, and Hi-Rez did an awesome job on it.
Oh, and the keynotes for it? Oh, we're having a plenary panel, which is like a big, you know, scholar. Superstars on it and stuff to open it, and it'll talk about the declining significance of race today. You know, what is the status of race in public discourse? And it'll have Yen Le Espiritu on it, Ross Frank, the Intrepid, Ross Frank. Sweet. I should put adjectives in front of their names. The intrepid okay. Ross Frank. The stellar Yenle Esperitu. Yeah, too. The indomitable George Sanchez. Oh. And the... I don't know who Laura Perez is.
But she's got to be...
She's the... Come on. I don't want to reproduce any stereotypes. I don't know anything.
I don't know her.
Oh, okay, that really... Okay.
But she's absolutely wonderful. Yeah, exactly. We know that she's absolutely wonderful. Otherwise, she would not be on this panel.
She actually has, because she's been one of the few people from Berkeley that has kind of been in contact with us from the faculty. Her, yeah. Because it's been difficult trying to get the different departments to engage. So, Laura Perez, I apologize for not knowing anything about your work.
I thoroughly apologize.
But yeah, she's been very helpful in making sure that students from her department and that faculty from her department keep in touch with us. Because it is supposed to be a conference for the graduate ethnic studies programs in California. Mm-hmm. But, and then the other keynotes are Paul Aloalia, our new faculty, the sage and wizened Paul Aloalia.
Wizened, you make him sound like Gandalf. I know.
Well, he does have that kind of wizardly presence.
He has a twinkle too, though.
No, yeah.
Is that it? Huh? Are there more?
No. And then, so he's giving a keynote on Sunday. Oh, wow. And then Ninochka Roska is the other one. She's a Filipina author and activist and stuff. So, yeah, we've got a great lineup. So, yeah, email us if you want more information.
And then we're all doing papers for the conference also, so that should be exciting. I believe you and I are on one panel.
Yes.
And Jose. And then you're on another one with who?
With Berkeley people. Yeah, Madel's paper will be cool. It's about Palawan soldiers in MySpace.
Oh my gosh, really?
I'm not sure if I'm going to pull that one out in time, but...
Why MySpace is better than Friendster.
Actually, I am. I am incorporating that into my perspective.
20 pages on it. That sounds really cool, yeah. You know, because my cousin has a MySpace just to her husband's a medic in Iraq. And she does that just to keep in touch with all of these.
Sure, that's so, how.
I mean, I didn't know this, though, until my sister was like, oh, have you checked out Shannon's MySpace? Because she, and was, I was a little surprised because I didn't realize that that was like the focus, so.
Well, most of the soldiers that are in Iraq, that's how they keep or maintain their communication with the rest of us out here. It's very interesting because they display their pride as Palawans, but they also, it's very clear that their military service is important to them. It's in their identity. So that's I'm going to incorporate it into my prospectus. Not sure how yet.
One of the ways you can make it fun.
Yeah.
Learn about the stuff that you like.
And that way I can actually be on there and not feel guilty.
And you can have a chapter on Palawans and reggae music too.
Oh. Okay.
And a section on Catch a Fire.
Yeah. Your husband.
Okay, I'm going to try and work Grey's Anatomy into that. I'm a recent convert to the world of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh boy, but you know what? Heroes. I think there's something in Heroes that we need to look into also.
Okay, I'll watch it.
You should.
It looks really good. I just don't have cable. I'll download it.
It is. It's about decolonization. And it's all these heroes. They don't know it yet, but they're going to decolonize the world.
That sounds cool. Fabulous.
It is. It's a really interesting show. Like, I could see a project coming out of that. You know, I have to do this project first.
Okay, but what about the idea that if we're watching something happen, we don't feel that we need to happen because we're already participating by watching?
No, that's true.
And that was a discussion we had yesterday in History and Memory. Well, sort of.
That's weird, huh?
Yeah.
So
like,
I'm like
yeah, if you're the witness and you're witnessing you're the secondary witness to the trauma, then can you actually feel that? Are you experiencing it once again?
I find this very fascinating topic too because I've talked before about how I've talked about my mom before and My mom will sometimes share stories that are very difficult to hear. And so when I was reading that, I missed class because of the Great Plague of 2007 that has been visiting my son and I, but and the week before, so I'm definitely on Yin's list, I'm afraid. But I was reading it and thinking about how there's like a public, but then there's also the private, but how just how that feels and is transmitted. Because I find myself like really shutting down. Like there is no way to share. But then she can't not tell people, right? I don't know. I think though that like popular culture, when we all watch something together, like a TV show like Heroes, and yes, it might be about decolonization, and I think that that's cool. I just wonder if we get so excited by the participating together and watching it that we don't
They
do
do.
anything.
Yeah. Or, but I don't know why it should be that way or why you shouldn't, if you read a cool paper, some Palawan woman writes, then you would be like, hey, this is an opportunity to like get myself jazzed about what it is possible to do.
But I think it's interesting for heroes, like there's a theoretical underpinning in it, right? And I mean, maybe, just maybe, there's a methodological thing there that could be useful, right, to our work. Let me guess, the one who would probably know best on how to interpret that.
Shoot.
What are you looking
I don't think it's
at?
recording
I
anymore.
think David
How do you
Bowie
know?
said it best when he said we
It's
could be
on.
heroes just for
Oh,
one
sorry.
day.
Okay. Oh, maybe it is still
This might
recording.
be the ghost of the podcast. This might be the second podcast that actually never happened, but I think it is recording and I
Okay. Oh,
believe
no, it
it
is. You're
with
right.
all my
Sorry.
heart. And I'm going to clap my hands because I do believe in fairies and
I do
in
believe in fairies.
podcasts and decolonization deeply.
I think that we should sing a song as part of
Oh, all
every
right.
podcast at least.
Okay.
So, but I don't know all the words to the David Bowie Hero song.
Oh
Do
yeah.
I
It's
know
it
that
goes
song?
bun, dun, dun,
We could be
no.
heroes for just for one
One.
day.
Yeah, that's a tough one because it's like there's lots of space in that.
Yeah.
You will be
Yeah,
queen,
and then we'll be.
Oh, or I wish
We
I
could
could.
swim like dolphins can swim.
Yeah, how come I don't know this
dolphins.
song?
It
I
was
don't
in
know. You're kind of young,
Godzilla
sweetheart.
Aww. You mean they didn't colonize us with
It's good to
that?
be young. What about, reggae songs? How about a little bob? Anything about setbacks? And
Three Little Birds. I don't know, but.
don't worry
About a
about a thing,
thing, 'cause
'cause
every
every
little
little
thing
thing
is
is
gonna
gonna
be
be
all
all
right.
right.
Singing, don't
Don't
worry.
worry.
Oh, we already fell apart. Okay.
Song for the week.
We will do better next time.
Rexy, wherever
I just kind of sprang it on everybody today. But next time we will have a song prepared, properly harmonized,
Oh
possibly some
no.
backup.
I have a master's thesis to write. Hello. All right, y'all.
Just bring the music
Thank you
into the
for
master's
sticking with
thesis.
us, and we'll be back really soon. Oh,
Okay,
yeah.
bye.
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 Thank you for listening.